It's good to have you with us this morning. Happy Easter to you all. Just to let you know, by the way, as it's Easter, we've got some lovely Easter treats. I didn't say this when the kids were in the room. So you get there first before the children do. But we've got some eggs to enjoy afterwards. So stay around for a tea and a coffee, especially if you are someone who wouldn't say Mosaic is your home. We'd love to get to know you. We'd love to say hello to you. I've lived in Bognor for 10, 11 years. Thanks. But I was originally from a place called Chertsey. Does anyone know where Chertsey is? If you're like, no, I don't really know it. Fort Park. Yeah. So I grew up in Chertsey, and then I moved. It's nearly 20 years ago that I moved to Chichester to go to university. That makes me feel really old. I've lived by the sea for nearly 20 years. However, only once have I gone into the sea during the wintertime. And never again. Not ever going to happen again. There is no judgment from me if people like to do that. But I don't understand people who've got these things in their garden, these cold pods, do you know what they are? Like these ice, I think they're ice baths, plunge pools, got many different names. They've got them in the garden. Anyone got one? Has anyone got one? Oh, I've got one, like, hesitant hand. It's okay to have one. So apparently, the reason people have these plunge pools or go swimming in the sea as well during the freezing months is because there are some health benefits to it. So a few health benefits are muscle recovery, helpful for muscle recovery, helps improve your mood, you become more energized, helps build mental resilience. Personally, I just find it cold and miserable. I'm not really going to be going that way. But why am I talking about plunge pools and swimming in the sea, in the cold sea? Because in all honesty, if we were to take all the God stuff out of this morning, what the people doing in a little bit when they go into that water is ultimately the same thing, isn't it? Like, they are just plunging into exceedingly cold water, which I've discovered is not as cold as I thought it was going to be. They're just getting plunged into some cold water, and the reason it's often cold out there is because we rent the school, we can't heat the pool. So don't blame us, blame the school. But if you are visiting Mosaic for the first time this morning, you may have come to see a friend or a family member being baptized, and so it is perfectly valid, if you are one of those people, to have a few questions. What are these Christians doing? Like, what? Why are they doing this? Why are these people being plunged into cold water to celebrate Easter? Why is this an Easter celebration? This is slightly odd, right? What has this got to do with Jesus? Right? Why should I even care? Why should I care that they're getting baptized? Other than I love the person, or I'm here for the person. Why should I care about this? Well, just to say that these are all very valid questions. And my hope this morning is not that you leave with the answers to those questions. That's not what I'm wanting to do. But you might leave maybe with some more questions as well. And I hope that you leave this morning grasping a little more why this matters. Why what we're doing this morning, why singing together, why having being a church, why baptism particularly is important and why it matters. And so to do that, I want us to look at the Bible, if that's okay. We are going to be looking at the book of Romans chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, it's going to appear on the screen, so don't panic. So I'm just going to read Romans 6 to us, verses 3 to 11, and then I want to ask us a few questions. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will also certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. The first thing I want to address this morning is why. Why are these people taking the plunge? Why take the plunge? Have you noticed, like, the benefits of the ice baths and the plunge pools and sea swimming? You can't dip your toe in, can you? You can't dip your toe in to get the resilient benefits and the muscle recovery benefits. You can't dip your toe in. You can't dip your finger in to get those. You need to get under the water. You need to go right under the water to get the benefits. And people are willing to plunge themselves into freezing cold water, under the water, to get wet and cold for apparent health benefits, for what we would probably refer to as a better life. That's what they're doing. They're going down into getting a better life. And this is where one of the things which is different about this morning. Okay? This is not my baptism, what we're about to witness in a little bit. It's not an Instagram post of health benefits. Right, this isn't for their Instagram. This isn't for them just to post and say, look at the health benefits of this. It's not about them improving their life. That's not what they're doing. Okay, baptism is about plunging, as we've just read in Romans 6, plunging under the water into something different, actually, into death. And that sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? But let me explain. Verse 3 and 4. Don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus? And we're baptized into his death. So during Easter Friday, Jesus didn't just dip his toe into death. He didn't just dip a little bit of his finger in, right? He plunged fully into it. Right? The Romans were really good at killing people. Right, they did it good and proper. Jesus didn't just seem to die. He really went all the way into suffering and to death. It's not symbolic like it is with water baptism. He's gone deeper than that. And Isaiah describes it this way. He was despised and rejected by mankind. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. And so this is where Easter and baptism, they combine. Right? The cross, Easter Friday, it wasn't an accident. It wasn't just a little thing that they had to put in place for the whole plan to come together. It was way more than that. Right? It was God on a mission. Jesus, he took our pain. He bore our suffering. He plunged into death, and he took it with him as he plunged into death, as he plunged all the way in our place. So why are these people taking the plunge today? Because Jesus took the plunge first. Because before we ever stepped forwards towards God, God stepped forward to us. God stepped into our lives. Jesus took the plunge first. So the people being baptized today, they're not paying God back. They're not doing a favor for him. It's not just a religious ritual. Why are they taking the plunge? Because they are going under. They are following the journey that Jesus took down into death. But that's not where it ends, is it? It's not where it ends. We don't just put them down and leave them there, because that would be illegal. So don't do that. But so why doesn't the story end under the water? Why doesn't it end there? Well, let me demonstrate with a quick challenge. Who in this room, don't be shy, who in this room thinks that they can hold their breath the longest? Jack Tressler, come on up. Come on up. All right. my wife, she doesn't know I'm going to do this, is pretty good. She's pretty good at this. So we're going to have a challenge. Come on, then. Coming up, Kim. Thought I'd embarrass you. So this side, you want Kim to win. This side, you want Jack to win. Just so then it's an even split, right? So what we're going to do, they are going to hold their breath. And we're going to make sure they're not breathing through their nose. So they've got to hold the nose.
So you've got to hold the nose.
And you've just got to not breathe. All right? Don't be too competitive to the point that you keel over. All right? Just take the loss. Also, we're going to be waiting. So if you could hurry up, that would be great. All right? So 3, 2, 1, go. I think we need to see your mouth. Yeah. So we're just going to stand here for the next. I'll keep talking. All right. So these guys are having a little attempt at a challenge. But why? Why am I doing this? All right. Because whoever wins has still got to breathe, haven't they? Like, they can't just hold their breath forever and ever and ever. It might be a long time. They're going pretty well. I also didn't expect them to keep going for this long. but it is evidence, right? This will be evidence that we need to breathe, don't we? All right. Are you going? She's going. I think we're a minute in. That's impressive. Yeah. I told you she was good. Oh. Well done. I told you. Talent. She's got a few hidden talents. I'll bring them out over time. No. I appreciate that you both stopped because now we can carry on. So the idea there is to show you that we need to breathe, don't we? Even though Kim went a bit longer, it's only a little bit longer, she still needs to breathe. She needs that air. And so why doesn't the story end when they're underwater? It's because they need to breathe, right? And so this is the link to Easter Sunday, right? Jesus didn't stay down. Jesus didn't stay under. Right, he didn't remain in the grave. He rose again. Jesus was restoring what humans were made for. Right, all of us were made for life, not death. We were made for breath, not suffocation. And that's what Jesus rising from the dead is doing. In Acts 17, it describes it this way. He himself, that's God, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, death still wins. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, death still wins. We are suffocated. All of this, all the church, all the baptism stuff, all the singing, all the kids' work, all the evangelism that churches do, which means like sharing the gospel, it would be pointless. Be totally, totally pointless. It would be like plunging under the water and not coming up for air. Maybe today you feel like you're struggling for air. Maybe life is just so overwhelming and you just want to breathe. Maybe you're not sure what life is all about. And you might think that the Easter story is a fairy tale. It's all made up. But I just want to encourage you this morning, if you come in with that mindset, this is just a load of rubbish. That's fine, all right? It's crazy stuff. It's weird and ancient. But in Matthew 28, it says, when it talks about his resurrection, this is what it says. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see. Come and see the place where he lay. And so I just encourage you, if you're someone who's, I'm just not sure on this whole Easter thing, this whole Easter story, come and see for yourself if Jesus is suffocating or if he is life-giving. Come and see. Come and see that somehow the tomb was empty. Like historically, the tomb was empty. Somehow. Somehow the man with nothing, Right? A man with nothing. He had no possessions, no anything. Just a small town guy living in Jerusalem. I just made that up. That does not work. But he's changed the whole world. He's changed from BC to AD. Like, it's all orientated around this guy. Why? It's crazy. Whatever you think about Easter, something interesting happened there. Something that takes our breath away happened there. I would go as far as saying that Jesus rising from the dead isn't just interesting for you, it is life-changing. And here's why. In our world, death is the greatest undefeated enemy. We try and run from it as much as we try. We try to look as young as possible for as long as possible, but always it wins. I've created a graph. This is my own creation. A graph to show some of the stats. I'm not sure how accurate the blue line is, but personally, I'm not keen on my chances. I'm not keen on my chances of being able to beat death or not. All right, and this is the bit that's life-changing. Not interesting, but life-changing. It says in verse 9, if Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death is no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. And that's what you're seeing today. Baptism isn't saying, I'm becoming a better person. It's not saying that, or it's not saying I'm going to stay under the water. I'm not going to stay as I am. Right? Baptism is saying I was under the water. I was dead, but I'm coming up to breathe. I'm coming up into new life, new birth. The message of Easter Sunday matters because the most fearful experience that we can imagine no longer needs fearing. We can breathe the fresh air of hope for the future. Death still brings its painful bits. Like that's, I'm not going to deny any of that. But it ultimately has lost through Jesus and his resurrection. And it restores what we were made for. The resurrection restores what we were made for, which is life and breath. So I've asked us, why are these people taking the plunge? Well, because they want to follow Jesus' example. Why doesn't the story end under the water? Well, because the resurrection offers life and breath. And so I want to finish with a personal question. What about you? Will you take the plunge? Will you take the plunge? Romans 6 brings it home this way. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin but alive to God. For each of the people being dunked today, there is a story behind it all. There's a story behind it all. We hear that, we're going to hear those in a moment, but these are stories of what life was like before they met Jesus, what the resurrection story has done in their life, but also why they're holding nothing back anymore and saying yes to Jesus publicly in front of all of you later. And so as you listen to these stories, I just want to encourage you to listen carefully, because these stories are not about these people. These stories are not about them. These stories are about the same Jesus at Easter. The Jesus who stepped into death on Friday, who walked out alive on Sunday, and the same Jesus inviting every one of us to trust him. So the possible difference between them and us, who are telling the stories in a moment, is because they're just responding with yes. That's the only difference. And so what's your response? If this is your first time in church, right, the question, will you take the plunge? I'm not saying will you get baptized, all right? This is just a first date. It's a bit forward on a first date. But the question is, come and see. That one from Matthew, just come and see. All right, will you come and have a look? Well, a really good place to start if you want to come and see is to read the Bible, all right? Why not? Why not read the Bible for yourself? All right, the Bible that I've got, this is a QR code. You can scan that. You can scan it subtly if you want to know what it says. But you can scan it. Right? This is a Bible reading plan through the book of John. This is a story about Jesus. Right? And what it does alongside it is someone just explaining a little bit as you go. So there's like it's broken into chapters, and so someone just explains the first chapter and then the next chapter and then the next chapter. So you can read it and actually grasp it for yourself a little bit more. So I'm gonna leave that up till the end, so you can certainly do it whenever you like. But if you are somebody who calls Mosaic your home, or you call yourself a Christian, then the question, are you going to take the plunge, is a little bit different. It might mean, why not read the Bible some more? All right, read it for yourself. However, it might mean something a little bit different. Like, some of you are on the edge. You're on the edge, and you're not in the water yet. You're just on the edge. Maybe taking the next step is baptism for you. If that's you, chat to me. We'd love to chat. Right? But some of you, you're in the water. Right? You're in the water, but what you're doing is you're staying under it. You're under the water. You're suffocating in the stuff of the past. You're suffocating from all your history, which Jesus has dealt with on the cross. It's all sorted. And you can rise to new life, new hope, resurrection hope. Some of you, you're like wondering what life is all about and you're just struggling to breathe. Come up for air. Breathe it in. Breathe in the goodness of God and enjoy it for the rest of your days. And so the encouragement to you is to come up and to breathe again. I think verse 5 says it best. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Beautiful hope. Beautiful truth. We sang it earlier, live in hope. That's what we were singing about earlier. It's a beautiful hope that we see at Easter and we're going to see through these baptisms. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pray and then I'm going to invite some people to come up and share some stories for us to listen to and be encouraged by. So Lord, I just thank you for Easter. I thank you for the living hope that we have in you. That we don't have to stay under the water. We don't have to stay in our sin. We don't have to stay in death. We don't have to stay in our worries or our fears or anxieties. God, we can come up for air. And we can come and have our new life, fresh hope, fresh air fill our lungs again. What a beautiful picture it is with the baptism. But Lord, you've done it. You've gone all the way there to take us from death to life. What a beautiful truth. What a beautiful hope that we have, oh God. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Kim Slaughter, do you want to come up for me? Kim's going to have Helen come and give us some moral support. Well done. This is intimidating to come up. And so just whenever someone finishes, or when they're coming up or when they're going down, clap them, all right? This is not easy just chatting in front of a bunch of people. So can you hold that for me, Helen? Is that okay? And tell us a little bit about why you're being baptized today. That'd be great.
This is scary. Okay, do you want me to? I'm just going to jump straight into it because I'm really nervous, so it's one of those. Life hasn't always been easy. Growing up, I was brought up by my dad and my nan, and I also had to navigate a difficult relationship with my mum due to her struggles with alcohol, which at times meant a reversal of our roles. I've been through challenges that felt overwhelming, and the biggest being in an abusive relationship that left me being a shadow of the person that I once was. But through everything, I'm still here. I've grown, I've learned, and I've found strength I didn't know I had. And then I met James. One of the biggest blessings in my life, along with my two boys, Charlie and Josh, and soon to be stepchildren, Leo, Sienna, and Declan. And that is after a proposal from James in Florence just recently. So I'm grateful for the love and the strength that he's brought into my life. Since meeting James, we've faced a lot together. Early on, we nearly lost my dad, and then my nan became very unwell. We lost James's brother, and then we lost my brother, and then we went through the loss of James's mum, dear Louise. Alongside that, life has been changing with the children growing up and needing us in different ways, or not needing us at all anymore, which has been really difficult. But through it all, we've stood by each other, and it's made us stronger. I first came to church to support James, and I've never really had any religious influence. So it was all new to me. My nan took me to church a couple of times when I was really young, but didn't really know what it meant. There was a battle, so I wanted to come, and then there was a time I actually walked out because I didn't want to be here, and struggled with it, but found myself connecting with it, and the messages of worship and the sense of belonging just felt right. And I only asked Helen to come up today, but I did write about Helen. So you have been you have been a really important part of my journey, and you've helped me understand Christianity in a way that's really made sense to me.
Oh, thank you.
So thank you very much. Thank you. You're my safe space. Today means so much to me. It's not just a ceremony, it's a new beginning. It's me choosing faith, hope, and a future with purpose, love, and strength. Thank you for listening. Amen.
Superstar. So what we'll do, we're going to listen to each of the stories, and then we'll gather the kids and we'll all head out in a bit, okay? So just so you know what's happening. And when they're outside, we're going to ask them some questions. We're going to, Simo's going to ask some questions when they're in the pool. But the questions are, do you believe that you've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Do you believe that Jesus died for your sin and rose to life? And are you going to choose to follow him? And so when they're saying yes, you know what they're saying yes to if you can't hear Simo outside. Okay, so I'm going to ask the next person to come up. Do you want to come up for me? Come on. Big Ant.
There we go. Morning all. Some of you would have seen me speak at the start of the year. I did give my story when we were doing the Mosaic stories in the new year. So I'm going to change what I said there slightly, partly because it was coming from a different position than where I am now. So I'm going to give everyone just a brief recap of what life was like before, and then I'm just going to continue flowing on. If I go off on a tangent, I apologize. So I spent about 20 years of my life isolating myself from people. No friends, no fun, no joy. It was a general internal discomfort. I despised the person that I was and punished myself for that. Can't tell you why, I just did. It felt right to me at the time. Obviously, now I can see maybe there's a reason for that. So I created an exterior that was sort of hard and stony, emotionless. It was meant to keep people away from me, to not give people any way to come near me, really, to protect myself from I don't know what. So God then decided to string together a series of events and bring some people into my life that, looking back on it, seems far more than just fortune and circumstance. It seems very intentional. The birth of my niece broke that armor that I was wearing, that exterior, and it brought forward the thought of hope for a future that wasn't so dark and cold. He sent me a family that I could lean on, and they would guide me and help me, even in the moments where they felt maybe they weren't doing me any good or weren't able to help me. They were solid ground for a moment that I needed them, and they may have felt hopeless and useless, but they were there. God knew my heart, and he sent me friends who, no matter how many times I would lock myself away and isolate myself, they'd always come knocking, and they would never leave me on my own. They would always just intentionally come forward and press it. Sorry. Bit of emotion now. So and then, to quote Genesis 2, the Lord said, "It is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." And he sent me mine. Lily has been God's beacon in my life, radiating his grace, forgiveness, and love. She has challenged and peeled away all of those layers of judgment, shame, helping me build into the man that I hope to continue to be. So over that was over a five-year period. And his work culminated into a one moment. I was sat in my bedroom before the gym, just got ready. I was feeling really up for it. I really wanted to go that day. And all of a sudden, I was just getting an inkling to read the Bible. I had it on the desk next to my bed. And I just picked it up. I'd never read it before in my life. I'd just asked Lily for a copy, and I was being a bit curious. As Johnny just said, someone just pick it up and start reading. So please do, scan that, it's worth it. So I started reading, and I got sort of, I didn't get far in, and I just became really unwell. Headaches, felt nauseous, tired, and I was like, oh, I need to go to sleep. So I laid down on my bed, and I thought I'll just sleep it off. Maybe if I get up in about an hour or whatever, I'll go back to the gym anyway. So then I just, something happened. So in a mix of being conscious or not, whether it was sleep, but I felt like I was still in the room, but I was away. I started to hear a voice, and it just sounded like loads of different voices in my head, talking all at once, but all saying the same thing. A lot of the stuff was just unintelligible. It was a constant bombardment. And once that had started, I had this burning fire in my head. And it was the weirdest sensation I've ever felt. It was full demonic scream, fire, and everything. It was the most surreal thing I've ever experienced. And obviously being up here saying those things, some people be like, you might be a little bit insane, but if that's insane, I'm very much happy to be that, thank you. So the last thing that I remember happening in that moment before I woke up was one sentence, and that is, he is now wearing my armor and is no longer yours. From that day, I've really, really felt that. It's one hell of a thing to have that happen and all of a sudden everything changed for your life. I immediately woke up and I didn't feel sick anymore. I felt great, felt the best I've probably ever felt. And now I feel better, but I think that's just a continuation of his grace. I laid on my bed for a bit and I was like, I'm just gonna enjoy this and see, let it come. And it turns out to be 4 hours went by, so it really does make time disappear. And obviously, as soon as I realised how much I'd done, I had to phone Lily, and we spent about another 3 hours on the phone talking about things, in tears, very, very emotional. Sorry. So from that day, I have pursued a relationship with Christ, dropping all that I am at his feet, every burden he has taken and given me a lighter one, every struggle. He has listened and he sent his word for the answers. I have surrendered to him and given up control and let his will be done, which has placed me in the path of people in need. Every opportunity has been a moment where God has shown his goodness, love, and faithfulness. So on this day, where Christ rose from the dead, after he endured unimaginable pain, dying a death meant for me, paying the debt that was mine and the sins that I've committed, I'm here to publicly profess my faith in him and accept him as my saviour and be born again. Thank you.
It's great. So yeah, read the Bible. Lily, do you want to come up? Lily's going to share her story now.
First time that I have ever done this, so I might stumble and I'm so nervous. But so when I started thinking about telling my story, I was actually speaking to Johnny, obviously, because I'm going to get baptized, and I found myself asking, where do I even begin? So I really sat with it and I realized, where do you ever really begin? Because yes, for me, there is a beginning and an end, but The real story for me lies in the middle, in the darkness, in like my loneliest and my lowest moments. that was where I actually found the light and the inner peace that only God could have given me exactly when I needed it the most. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John 1:5. Faith has always been a part of my life, and I have my incredible mum to thank for that. She's been strong when I needed her to be, and soft when it mattered the most. Her love has always reflected something of God's love, steadfast, protective, enduring. She showed me how to keep going, and she showed me how to pray. But more than anything, she showed me what unconditional love looks like. I was raised going to church, attended Sunday school, and surrounded by community, and I loved it. Mum, I'm so grateful for the foundation you gave me. Sorry about the sniffles. I know they're probably annoying. Looking back, I can see that the love I experienced through you was a reflection of a life lived with Christ at the center. Now, I really wish this wasn't the case, but as I grew older, my faith felt like something around me rather than something within me. In my early 20s, I would describe myself as a lukewarm Christian, aware of God, speaking his name, but not fully walking with him. And deep down, I wasn't fully at peace within myself. The biggest shift in my life came when I lost my dad 8 years ago. It was sudden and it was deeply painful. And it made me realize just how precious life is and how little control we truly have. I found myself in a very dark place, probably the lowest that I've ever been. But it was there at my lowest that I felt saved. Of course, that season didn't change me overnight. But over time, it began to shape me in a much deeper, more spiritual way. Looking back, I see my faith a bit like the mustard seed that Jesus speaks about, sprouting and flourishing over time and growing into something steady and deeply rooted in him. I'm so grateful that I stopped relying on my own strength and that I began to face and process parts of my life where I'd felt lost. And I've learned to forgive myself and let go of what I was holding on to. And in many ways, I realized that I got lost in order to be found. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. It was here, where I understood something that I hadn't fully accepted before, that I am truly loved and that I am his. And from that place, everything began to shift. I found myself turning towards God more. I considered the lilies of the valley and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. I felt like I was blooming and everything was falling into place. And slowly but surely, I surrendered my life to him. And then gradually, as things fell into place, I found my childlike joy again. I was always a very joyful person and I felt like I lost that. No more. I'm the most joyful person now. And then God sent me my soulmate, Anthony. And honestly, every day has felt like a dream since. Thank you for the peace that you have brought me. Our bond has strengthened, and our laughter has only become more frequent. And then faith entered our relationship. Watching you find God has been so moving to witness, and it has deepened my respect for you. It has been a privilege to see God moving in your life. Anthony, I'm so proud of the courage and humility that you have. With God at the center, we are not standing alone together, but we're held like a cord of three strands. We are not easily broken. I feel stronger in my faith now more than I ever have before, and I'm certain of who God is in my life. And looking back, I can see how much of this reflects the story of Easter too. Even in my darkest moments, God was still at work, and what felt like an ending was in fact the beginning of something new and profound. He has given us new birth into a living hope, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 1:3. Through surrender, there is life. Through pain, there is purpose. And through God, there is always hope. So today, I want to be baptized because I feel incredibly blessed to know Jesus, because I believe in him, and because I want to follow him fully for the rest of my days. And on this Easter Sunday, it feels especially meaningful to step into new life with him, just as he rose, bringing with him hope and renewal.
Well done. Super. It's good. It's good. It's exciting. Ava, do you want to come up for me? Let's welcome Ava. Can we share some of your story and why you're being baptised today?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello. I haven't got my notes, so I'm going to try and remember. So I'm Ava, and it's emotional for doing this. Like most of us, I searched for home in careers, in relationships. I searched for home in everything. And I didn't grow up in fact, my house was extremely toxic when I was a child. So to have children of my own now, I knew I wanted to do things totally different. So in 2023, when I found myself again single and now with three children, I decided to strip everything back. I went into the season of, I guess, the wilderness. I stripped everything back. I let go of my business, my staff, everything. People thought I was crazy because you were once that girl who was in the newspaper to now, I was skint. But I knew I needed to be on my own. I knew I needed to go inwards. I knew that I needed to get clarity, but I didn't know what it was that I was searching for. And then my good friend Jamie, shout out Jamie, she was like, you need to come to church, because we had so many in-depth conversations about how we were raising our children, what our values were. And she said, you know, a lot of your values are in alignment with biblical values. So I was like, do you know what? I'll give it a go. Tears are gone now, sorry. Start again, I'm confident, it's fine. And I come here, and it was my first time here, and like many people on their first visit to church, as soon as the music hits and everybody starts singing, I just could not stop crying. And it was the only way I can describe it, and my daughter found this funny when I told her earlier, it was almost like being wrapped in a blanket of love, and I just knew this is exactly where I needed to be. So from there, I got a Bible. Where do you even start with a Bible? It's so long. Started with the book of Matthew. It's a good place to start. And every verse that I read, it just hit home and already confirmed what I sensed to be true and confirmed a lot of the values that I had. And from then, I knew this is exactly the clarity that I was looking for. And to bring my children into this and to bring faith into our lives has been beautiful. And to, Lily perfectly put it, to surrender and to know that I don't have to carry all of this alone. It's so freeing and I'm so grateful. So this is where it's led me today. I know in my heart what is true. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Saviour, and today it's about making that a public declaration and in front of my children as well and my dad. So, yeah, thank you very much.
Excellent. So good to hear so many stories. Hopefully you can connect with, even on a personal level, I actually connect with that. This is the reason why stories are so helpful, to hear this. And you can hear, actually that's how that's what the new life looks like. Right, there's different angles we can see that new life is at work. It's great. It's exciting. So Ava mentioned Jamie Lee. Jamie Lee's also being baptized today. So I'm looking over there. Oh, she is there. Come on up. Come on over. It's always fun to make you cry in front of everyone.
Hello, everyone. I'm going to read from my phone today because there's so many faces and I'm still crying from Ava's. So I gave my testimony, my aunt, back at the beginning of the year at Mosaic Stories. So I've had to change what I'm going to say a little bit. I talked about my early faith being shaped by my grandparents, who were Jehovah's Witnesses, and how that left me distant from God until an encounter with him in my garden. But before the moment in my garden with God, I can see now that he was already at work in my life. I didn't recognize it at the time, but he was gently placing people around me, planting seeds, and surrounding me with his love in ways I couldn't yet understand. Through my husband, my faithful in-laws, Helen and Andy, through family, friends, conversations, through Little Bears, prayer groups that I wasn't even part of, and through prayers that I didn't hear being spoken, I was being carried closer to him. Nothing was wasted. Every invite, every kind word, every prayer, it all mattered. And I brought my friend Ava along for the ride, and it's been incredible watching our friendship grow deeper in faith. And I've also formed some really amazing friendships within church. And it's really highlighted the importance of putting yourself out there and connecting with like-minded people in our church community. And I think what I really wanted to say today is that you are praying for someone, and if you are showing kindness, and if you're inviting people, you might not see the fruit straight away. But God is working through you. And I'm standing here today ready to give my life to Christ because of those quiet, faithful acts. And I know this not because any of these people told me they were praying for me, because now I know them and now I know God, and because God was working through his people long before I ever turned to him. Thank you.
Great job. God is at work in the loud and in the quiet, isn't he? It's a beautiful picture. Last but not least is Jamie Ruffle, or as Simo calls him, Muscles. I think we're a similar size, I would say. I'm a bit bigger. Yes, no.
Legends. Right. So, good morning. My testimony comes originates from my childhood. So a big part of my testimony and the reason I've decided to get baptized today comes from my childhood. So I was brought up in a very sporty family. I'd get involved in the football, the tennis, athletics, table tennis, badminton. Name a sport, I would do it. And actually, that's where I met Uncle Simo, and Jolie and Alicia at triathletics at the range of 8 to 10. According to him, I was, quote, came from him, rapid, all right? I was quick. In my family, there was my brother, Aidan, my sister, Jennifer, my mum, Andrea, and my dad, Cliff. Now, on the outside, our family looked great. We went on holidays, so Cornwall at Christmas, Hungary, caravan trips. But in reality, things weren't as perfect as they seemed. Now, unfortunately, when I was around 10, my dad cheated on my mum. And that led to a very long, complicated and painful process. But one of the things I have to say is my mum's faith never went. Through one of the hardest times in her life, she still believed and trusted in God. And there's a verse she would always say to me, which originates from Genesis 15:20, which is, what Satan intends for evil, God will turn to good. Now, people will hurt you, but people have hurt us, and things will happen that don't make sense, and it's very easy to blame God for allowing it to happen. But even in her life, when it was falling apart, God was faithful to her. He helped her raise three kids on her own, me, my brother Aidan, and Jennifer. And God showed up. He didn't abandon her. He didn't abandon our family. And after the divorce, I really struggled. I became quiet, reserved, shy, and confused. I didn't understand why it all happened. I mean, you know, your dad that you think loves your mum and loves you does something that isn't very loving at all. But I had to accept it and move on. And I didn't feel the impact of it at the time until I grew up. When I was younger at school, everything kind of felt fine. You know, you accept it, it's fine. You're young, you don't understand it. As I grew up and I tried to navigate life, that's when I really, really struggled. So the confusion and the things that I've had to figure out without a strong male role model has been really tough. School was confusing, college was worse, and then universities is when things really like hit. The only thing I had was the gym, of course. And I started going when I was about 14, and it became the place I found peace. So when all of the divorce was happening, it was a very long process, I started going to the gym, and I found that that was my coping mechanism. So by the time I got to uni, I'd stopped going to church. I stopped praying, I stopped reading my Bible. And even when I was younger, even when mum took me to church, I didn't really truly believe, right? The idea of a man named Jesus, Yeshua, someone who lived 2,000 years ago, who died and came back to life, just sounded crazy to me. It didn't make any sense. At uni, my relationship with my mum was probably at its lowest. After university, I came back home, and things with mum were still really bad. I struggled just generally with life. And again, the gym was the only place that I found that was my only sort of peace. So 2024 is what I like to call my way. It didn't end well, just to let you know. So my way, because of my own idiotic choices, I ended up unemployed for about 3 months. So 2024 was such a hard year for me. I remember I didn't have a job. At the time, I really wanted to go back to London. That's where I went to university in Twickenham. I really wanted to go back. And I loved London. And I was like, I want to go back. I felt I was just stuck at home. And I didn't know what the next step for me was. Didn't have a job. And I remember just sitting in my room crying. Now, I'm not a crier. And I just felt lost and hopeless. I had no idea what I was doing. So I prayed. And believe it or not, things started to happen. So within about three months, I finished my PT for qualification. I started this qualification a year ago, never touched it. So I finished that qualification. I got the job I wanted at Nuffield. And my relationship with my mum improved massively. But even then, I still felt a bit empty. Now, the next season of my life, which was last year, 2025, is where I felt like God kind of stripped everything back. So the one thing I've learned is that God's plan is better than mine. And even when I don't understand it, He has got me. In 2025, I got rushed to hospital with appendicitis. Now, that was not long after starting my job. So it's really confusing because I got blessed with this job that I really wanted. And literally a month after, God was like, nah, you're going to go into hospital with appendicitis. Didn't make any sense to me. And I I felt there was a reason. Now, through the surgery and the recovery, the one thing I relied on and my biggest coping mechanism got taken away from me, which was the gym. Now, that could have been a coincidence, but I don't believe it was. Not having the gym forced me to stop relying on it. And it instead helped me to start relying on God. Now, this is where I started to I wanted to find the truth. I still didn't really have faith in Jesus. I still didn't really understand the concept of the stories, the Bible. So I went on this kind of long journey to trying to find the truth. Now, during this time, my faith actually went up and down, and it was a very lengthy and long process, but I didn't want blind faith. I didn't want to just believe in something just for the sake of it, just because other Christians are telling me, just because the church is telling me, oh yeah, now I believe in it. No, I didn't want that. I wanted to have a foundation of faith. Now, I started reading the Bible and I read John 14:6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And John 8:32, the truth will set you free. Now, I looked into things outside of the Bible too, so kind of like church history, scholars, non-Christian writers. And through my research, I felt like I actually had a reason to believe in Jesus, that he just wasn't this random man. And then that's when the transformation happened, and that's when something changed within me. When I finally put my faith in Christ, when I finally believed in Jesus, that emptiness that I'd been carrying, that hole within me, and everything that I'd been through started to fill. Now, for the first time, I felt like I had a father. And not just a father, a friend I could go to. And there was a change in me. The way I acted, the way I spoke, how I treated people, it just shifted. And I'm not saying I'm perfect, but that's why today matters. Because of what Christ has done for everyone. But I can only honestly say there's a night and day difference between who I was before and who I am now. It wasn't this crazy miracle that happened. It was just a sense of peace, just knowing I'm all right. Now I try to pick up my cross daily, and because without Jesus, I would try to do it by myself. And I know that never works out. So that's why I'm getting baptized today.
So many great stories of hearing how on people there's these dying moments, but there's also the moments where they breathe again. They come out of the water and they breathe again, isn't there? Just in every single story. I don't know if you caught them. It's beautiful. What we're going to do is sing.